raised, every hand lifted to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Giving him high praise and worship for what we feel in this place right here, right now. People are being touched. The Spirit of the Lord is moving. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful touch of God that is upon every soul in this house. Lord, you're delivering a miracle right now into our spirit. Lord, heaven has come down upon us in this place. We're thankful, Lord, for what we feel across this house. Would you add your voice of praise into this atmosphere right now? From wherever you're standing all over this place, add your voice of praise. Add your hallelujah. Add your thank you, Jesus. Thank you for touching. Thank you for coming down. Thank you, Lord, for what we feel in the house of the Lord today. Oh, we give you high praise and high glory. Would you like to clap your hands unto the Lord and just allow a little excitement to get in your soul for what's happening in the house of the Lord right now? My Lord, hallelujah. It's a breakout in the Spirit of the Lord. We'll add some word to this spirit that's flowing. And then I believe the Spirit take us up to even a higher level in just a few minutes. What a wonderful, wonderful demonstration of the power of God. Such a privilege and honor on behalf of my wife and I to be here and to be a part of this kind of an atmosphere where the Spirit of the Lord is touching. And what I'm going to be speaking about today basically is what's going on right here that we've just been watching and just experiencing and feeling. We came back from the nation of Papua New Guinea around the Easter weekend. 993 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. 180 were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be heading off in just a few weeks to Australia and Vanuatu, all on the same trip. Take an annual trip to Vanuatu. This year, the youth team is coming, and so we're expecting a great outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the islands of Vanuatu. Isn't it a great day to be living for the Lord? Amen. Something good is about to happen. Pastor is saying that they're going to have the offering box out in the foyer for your tithes and offering. Normally that would be done right here, but we felt to just move right into the preaching of the word so we can get right back to this altar shortly. So out in the foyer as you go out today, remember your tithing and your offering to put that in and support the local church. Keep this church strong. Keep this church healthy. Keep this church moving on because you need it now, and we're going to need it even more so in the future. Keep the church strong. You got a prodigal that's going to come home one of these days. You want a strong, vibrant church here when they walk through the doors. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. The book of Acts, chapter number 2, verse number 1. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. We'll be reading a few verses there, and then we'll skip a few and read a few more. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire and sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking his own language. Down to verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, you men of Judea, all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known and hearken to my words. These are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, would have been about 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. We're witnessing it already here today. We're going to witness more of it throughout this day. Amen. I'm going to speak to you for a few minutes today on this thought: when heaven delivers on a promise. When heaven delivers on a promise. How about one more hand clap of praise to the Lord? Just, the Bible said, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Praise ye the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. 4,000 years of human history had elapsed by this time. God himself had come down from heaven in the form of human flesh through the miracle we call the incarnation. The angel has said, his name shall be Emmanuel, which means God with us. These were momentous days. Never had they heard a man speak like this man. They were seeing miracles and wonders so marvelous to behold. They were seeing things they had never seen. The lame walked. The blind could see. The deaf ears were open. They saw him demonstrate power over demonic forces and demonic spirits. Amen. He taught them as one with authority. And yet, through the simplicity of stories, he revealed heavenly truths. We now call those stories parables. He's teaching them to love one another. He's teaching them to forgive one another. He's teaching them to rise above religious rituals and religious traditions and age-old traditions of men. Poor are receiving the gospel. He's spending time with common people. Even sinners of the worst kind have their moment and their audience with Jesus. He's speaking of a heavenly kingdom. He's speaking of peace. He's talking about love. Hope is in the air like it had never been. Many begin to realize that this is the Messiah that had been spoken of by the prophets. Yet with all they were seeing, with all they were beholding, with all that was transpiring right in front of their very eyes, they could not have possibly understood the eternal significance of the times in which they were living. Everything was about to change. Everything was about to change forever. Pastor talked about those moments that can just change everything. And this was about to be one just like that. Amen. He was setting them up and getting them ready for a transfer. He said, I am with you, but I shall be in you. Paul would later write to the church at Ephesus, saying in Ephesians 4:7, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He gave gifts unto men. He was turning everything over into the favor of mankind. He was going to provide the remedy for the sinful condition that they had lived in for so long. He was going to turn the tables on the enemy. He was going to give people the upper hand. He was going to make a way of escape. He was going to open a doorway of salvation. He was going to provide a way of hope when it seemed like there was none. He was taking captivity captive. He was turning it all around. Even the crucifixion, as horrible and as brutal as it was, even the crucifixion would give way to a glorious resurrection of power. It would ultimately be the greatest victory of mankind. Out of all of that brutality, blood was going to be shed that was going to be the salvation remedy for all of humanity. Out of the grave on the third day, he rose. He walked with them for 40 days, opening their understanding of the scripture. This was after the resurrection. Do you suppose if you could walk with Jesus in resurrection form for 40 days, you would have a little understanding of what was right and what was wrong and what was truth and what was error? They walked with him in that condition. He magnificently then ascended up into the heavens right before their very eyes, with a crowd of disciples and believers watching. Luke would record the story in 24:49. His final words, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." He led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and he was carried up into the heavens. This amazing moment was then detailed even more in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Jesus is telling them, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're going to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth." And after he had spoken these things, while they yet beheld him, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they're looking up into the clouds where he has just disappeared, and they're looking up steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, angels, no doubt, which said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you have seen taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And so they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount, which is called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room. And there's about 120 altogether. The disciples are there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there. Everyone is assembled. They are no doubt rehearsing Jesus' final words to them, reminding one another, he said, that we would be endued with power from on high. They have no idea what's going to happen, but heaven is about to deliver on a promise. Heaven is about to open up and pour down the promise that Jesus had been telling them about throughout his ministry. Jesus had called it the promise of the Father that he would send upon them. He called it another comforter that would come. He called it power from on high that would descend. He told the woman of Samaria, it's going to be like a well of living water springing up unto everlasting life. It's not just going to be a moment of a refreshing drink, but if you'll partake of this heavenly gift, it's going to take up residence inside of you. It's going to fill the empty place in the deepest part of your soul, and it's going to be a well that will spring up unto everlasting life. The apostle Peter said of the promise is to you, and it's to your children, and it's to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Jesus had told them, I am with you, but I shall be in you. He said, I must go away so that the Comforter can come. There's something heaven has that you need to receive. There's something that's been prepared for you that's going to come down from that world into this world. And it's the promise of the Father. He had been telling them, promising them, explaining to them, hinting about it, laying the groundwork forward, and they were all wondering what it could possibly be. They're gathered in the upper room. They're all together there. The historical record lets us know they were there somewhere probably between 7 to 10 days in the upper room. And you think our services are long? 7 to 10 days just waiting on something to happen. Sing another song. Something's going to happen eventually. Does anybody else have a testimony? Does anybody else remember how he said it? 7 to 10 days. They don't even know what to expect. They don't even know what's going to happen. They don't even know what's about to transpire among them. They just know something good is about to happen. Something good is on its way. Some promise of Jesus So it is that they remain until the feast of Pentecost, till the celebration of Jubilee. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it's as though there was a drum roll somewhere in the distance, faintly heard far above the most distant cloud. Out there in a heavenly place somewhere, something began to stir and something began to rumble. And then it happened. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and they began to speak from the overflow of their hearts. Cloven tongues, like as a fire, began to flow upon them. They didn't even know what was happening, but heaven was delivering on a promise. The heavens had opened up, and down from his glory came his spirit and came his power. They're feeling something they never felt. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I think I might be preaching to some people that have received what I'm preaching about. You've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. I was just 7 years old at a rally in Baltimore, Maryland. The first time I ever felt it, I was on this side of the pulpit at the altar. They were praying with me. Now, in those days, you prayed for just a little while before you really expected anything would happen. You didn't come to the altar and expect anything to hit you right away. You'd go and you'd cry a while. You'd pray a while. Then everybody would be with you, keeping your hands up because they were getting tired, so they'd hold them up for you. And you prayed a while. But after I'd been there a little while, I'll never forget it. I'm 53 today, but I remember what happened when I was 7, when that power of God somehow found its way into my soul. I don't know exactly how it got there. I don't know what exactly happened. I just know that my soul opened up and heaven came in, and I got what he told that woman she would get. I got that well of living water. And it's still springing up in my soul today. It's peace that passes understanding. It's the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to be a witness of what I'm preaching about here today. Heaven delivering on a promise. It's power. It's boldness. It's strength. It's passion. They're overwhelmed by the presence of God, filling the empty void of their souls. Pastor gave you quite a litany of things that I've been blessed to see throughout ministry. Indeed, it's true. Blind eyes open, 8 in a single service in Pakistan. Saw a man they brought up on the platform get right out of a wheelchair and walk across that platform. He'd been in that wheelchair for over 6 years. I've seen devils come out just in that crusade I was in Papua New Guinea. They took me to a man. He was writhing on the ground. His eyes were rolling back in his head. But within about a minute and a half of prayer, he was standing on his feet worshiping the Lord. Amen. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've seen the mighty hand of God reach down. I've watched faces turn from terrible, wrenching faces full of pain to glorious, happy faces full of the joy of the Lord. I've seen the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Seen a little girl in Ethiopia. Her legs were twisted in. Her feet were pushed together like this. That she couldn't stand or walk. They carried her and would try to stand her up. They got to praying, and I watched as those legs turned straight out like that, and they stood her up there and let go, and for the first time she could stand. I saw a 9-year-old boy in Pakistan that could not speak and could not hear, but God opened up his ears, and the first word he learned was hallelujah, because we had shouted hallelujah about 100 times. I saw the crocodile tears rolling down his father's cheeks as he witnessed the power of God in that boy. How could all of these things be? That's the glorious power of the Holy Ghost and fire. That's the power of God moving through the hearts of people. Somebody ought to give him a great hand praise. Some are already doing it. Heaven delivers. Heaven comes through. They're experiencing something humanity had never experienced. They're feeling something nobody had ever felt. It's the power of the resurrection. It's the power to get up again when life knocks you down. Come on, becoming a Christian doesn't make you a superhuman person. Amen. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean you never have any problems. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean you never get sick and you never have trials and your car doesn't break down and you don't get in financial stress. Becoming a Christian means you have something inside of you that keeps waking you up in the morning, like the song said, and starts you on your way. You wake up and all those things are there, but you say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Something on the inside working on the outside. The day of Pentecost became the memorial moment. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. You ever see somebody get baptized? Baptistry right here behind me. See somebody get baptized, man? The word baptized means to totally saturate, to fully cover, completely under. They take that person that's baptized, and we take them under the water, all the way down under the water, and bring them up. And when they come out of the water, water's dripping off their ears, dripping off the end of their nose. All the clothes are saturated. And if they get excited and want to hug you, I've been hugged by some freshly baptized folks before. Looked like I got baptized. They come out of there hugging on you, slinging water everywhere. There's water on the walls. There's water on the floor. There's water on all the people. The one that got baptized is soaking wet and dripping in every direction. Well, that's a water baptism. But the Bible tells us there's a spirit baptism that does the same thing to the soul that you see that water doing on the physical body. I've watched them come out of the altars filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I saw some people right down here today praying in the Holy Ghost. Same thing was happening. Hands were shaking. Spirit of God was flowing. Happiness was on the face. Amen. If you'd have come up and give one of them a hug, you'd have felt what they felt. Churches across the land to this very day celebrate this experience of Pentecost. It happens every week. It's happening all. We were just at the camp meeting all week. People receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost at camp meeting. We've seen it already here today. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost, refreshing, renewing, and strengthening. It's happening all the time. What a day we're living in. We're living under the fulfillment of the prophetic promise. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now, here's the thing about all of this that is so amazing to me. Heaven could have sent anything. We wouldn't have known the difference. Jesus said, I send the promise. We didn't know what the promise was. We didn't know what was going to happen. He said, I have all power in heaven and earth. He could have sent anything. Heaven could have opened up its treasures and poured out anything. The streets of heaven are paved with gold. The gate is a single pearl. The walls are every precious stone. There's no economic problem in heaven. Heaven is overflowing with treasure. It's a place of eternal, endless light. There's no sickness there. There's no death there. No sorrow there. No suffering. No crying. No war. No violence. No pain. No injustice. No addictions. Heaven has it all. Everything we could ever hope for. Everything we could ever dream about, it's there. Jesus said, I'm going to send you something. I've got just what you need. And when heaven opens up to give humanity the sovereign remedy for human failure, when heaven decides to help us out, when heaven determines we could use a little help down here, a little assistance along the way, the heavens open up, and the very Spirit of God Himself comes flowing down like a river into the empty hearts of men. Could have sent anything. He sent His Spirit. You have to remember, God had come down. That's the beauty of the incarnation. He was made flesh. He made himself a little lower than the angels. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He told Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, robed up in human flesh, walking among mankind. God had come down. He had walked in the dirt. He had come down and got up close with humanity. He was tempted in all ways like we are. He came face to face with the old devil. And he came face to face with him in human flesh. He came to him in the same condition that you and I come to him. He endured betrayal. He went through mocking. He felt pain. He felt every human sorrow possible. He saw the wickedness of man up close. He experienced the world of all the evil that mankind could dish out. And he experienced it all in humanity, not in divinity. He experienced it in the human condition. So he had been here. He's walked where we're walking. He sees what we see. He knows what we know. And when he decided it was time to send help and to send a remedy, he opened up the windows of heaven and poured out heaven's remedy. If money alone could solve the answers and all the ills of mankind, I believe the heavens would have opened and millions of dollars would have come floating down out of the glory world. If he could have sent gold and silver, and that would have fixed all of our problems, I believe heaven's streets would have melted down, and he would have poured out gold and silver into all of our hands. He could have took away every sickness and said, there'll never be another sickness. There'll never be another pain. There'll never be another discomfort. He could have righted every wrong. He could have overturned every injustice. He could have removed every pain. He could have removed everything that we see as negative from earth entirely. But in his sovereign wisdom, in his sovereign knowledge, he looked around at the problem with humanity. He looked at all the evil. He looked at all the injustice. He looked at all of our failures and all of our fleshly problems. He said, I know exactly what you need. I know what's going to help you. And he opened up the windows of heaven and poured out the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Aren't you glad you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost today? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the power of God unto salvation. The baptism of his Spirit is the very blessing of what it means to be a Christian. This experience in the presence of God, what we saw already at this altar, and we're going to see more of in just a few minutes. You see these people up here praying, their hands shaking, their heart melting, tears flowing, feeling the power of God, the surge we felt in the music. You can't create that with notes. You can't create that with beats. You can't pluck that on the string. The singers, no matter how good they are, they can't manufacture. But in the middle of the melody, upon the flow of the song and the vocals, came the Spirit of God that is his help for everything we're facing. It's what makes every promise of the Scripture possible. It's the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire is how we're transformed from darkness to light. That's how we get from doubt to hope. That's how we move from fear to faith, from bound to free, from lost to found. You don't get there just by some mental idea. You don't get there just simply through becoming emotional. You get there when the Spirit of the Almighty finds its way into your soul. Every Christian benefit. All the good stuff you hear all the time about being a Christian. All the promises. All the blessings that comes to us by being a Christian flows into our heart and into our life through the Holy Spirit of the Almighty God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Righteousness peace and joy are in the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The gifts of healing and the gifts and working of miracles come through the flowing power of the Spirit of God. We are comforted through the power of the Holy Ghost. Direction and truth come. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. That's the baptism. That's what will help your marriage. That's what will help your career. This is what will help your educational process. This is what will minister to your emotion. This is what brings comfort and peace to a troubled mind. Every area of life gets baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. When God pours out His Spirit, heaven is delivering on the promise. Not just the promise of the outpouring of the Spirit, but it's the promise that everything you read can happen. Every miracle you see is possible. It's the Spirit of God that opens up every promise of that Bible you carry to church every single week. Without the power of the Holy Ghost. I think I said this at the camp meeting. Seen about 875,000 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with my own two eyes. I've never given one single person the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've seen it. I can't do it. I've seen them get out of wheelchairs, get up, throw down crutches. I've seen them get up off the floor, demon-possessed. In Pakistan, they put all the demon-possessed people right out in front of the pulpit. You got to preach over top of them. Yeah. Preaching to you is easy. I've seen them get right up, be totally, completely delivered of demon spirits. I saw one man in Ethiopia. They had him tied with ropes through his elbows, tied to a post. He was hanging back. His head was tilting back. He was foaming at the mouth, full of devils. But when the power of God got moving, a few preachers got to praying for him. In about 5 minutes, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. They give him a microphone. He was testifying the glory of God. I can't do that. I couldn't fix that fella. Wasn't that long ago. I was about in the same condition he was in. I'm under no illusions what my life is like without God. I saw what would happen to me in my teenage years without God. We're nuts. We'll lose our mind. We can't control ourselves. We're our own biggest enemies. We worry about what the devil's going to do. The devil can't do near to me what I've done to myself. I need God to save me not only from the devil. I need God to save me from me. Amen. I'm under no illusions today. If you take God out of here, we're helpless. We can sing. We can give you scriptural information. We can teach and give you a nice lecture on the scripture. But we're going to walk out of here in the same condition we came in. Our only hope today is that somewhere in the song, somewhere in the sermon, somewhere in your prayer, that same promise comes down from heaven and touches us. Go ahead and give the Lord some high praise one more time. Finishing. Woo! It's living water. It's heaven's miracle remedy for every human condition. And there's nothing like it. So there's nothing like it. There's no way to access the treasure of heaven except through the power of His Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We overcome through the Spirit. We're set free by the Spirit. So whatever you're going through, whatever your battle is, whatever your problem you brought to the house of God, whatever your confusions, dilemmas, whatever you're upset about, cynical over, whatever doubts, fears, troubles, or darkness you find anywhere, can I tell you, heaven's promise is that you open up your heart and open up your soul. Let the power of the Holy Spirit flood over you. Amen. I'm telling you to make a world of difference. When heaven delivers on a promise and fills you with His Spirit, it opens up your eyes. It opens up your heart. It opens up your mind. Suddenly you feel like you didn't feel. You think like you didn't think. You know things you didn't know. You wake up saying, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it." I wish somebody helped me worship the Lord here with everything inside of you. I'm finishing. Woo! Would you stand with me all over this house? Now you might wonder, when you come to these Pentecostal churches, why we're always clapping, shouting, raising our voice. Preachers telling everybody shout amen, say praise the Lord. I'll tell you why. Because I don't know how else to help you. I don't know what else to do for you. I couldn't fix my own problems, let alone fix yours. I don't know how to help you with the mess you're in. I don't have all the answers for your life. The pastor, he's a whole lot smarter than I am. He probably actually has some answers, but he don't have all the answers. Some of you, you have problems he can't fix. You have problems I can't fix. You're looking to us. You're good luck. Seriously. If you're looking to me and Pat, if you're looking to us, fix all your dilemmas, you're in trouble. Don't look at us. That's why we're telling you. Come on, clap your hands. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Come on, sing this song. Come on to an altar. Because we know that your only hope is that somehow, like that little woman, you touch the hem of his garment and you touch something that comes from there. And if you touch something from there, he can do it 30 seconds, but we couldn't get done in 30 minutes or an hour. When heaven delivers the promise, it comes guaranteed. Comes with everything you're going to need for everything you're going to go through. When he poured out the Holy Spirit on them, he said, this is what you're going to need. This will get you through your grief. This will get you through sickness. This will get you through heartache. This will get you through betrayal. This will deliver you when you're in trouble. This will protect you from your adversary. This will help you reconcile when you say things you shouldn't say and do things you shouldn't do and your families get sideways. I'm giving you the remedy. My Spirit is going to help you in every single situation and circumstance you ever find yourself in. The power of the Holy Spirit is heaven's help. My help cometh from the Lord. Now I've got an empty and open altar, and somebody's got an empty and open heart. I'd like to present this empty, open altar to somebody.